Now, I know you've heard the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Another one of my mom's classic lines. Another way I've heard it said is, hell is full of good meanings, but heaven is full of good works. Now, I don't know, which one do you like better? The road to hell is paved with good intentions, or hell is full of good meanings, but heaven is full of good works? I don't know. Every time I read this particular piece of scripture, it's this saying that always comes to mind. And you can hear it behind every word that Joshua says to God's people. And they just reinforce his feelings every time they repeat, "We will serve the Lord." Now, what we skip in the reading for this morning, verses 4 through 13, are a recitation and remembrance of how God led the people from slavery in Egypt through 40 years of wandering in the desert, to driving out the pagan peoples from the promised land to make room for Israel to finally settle down after those 40 long years of wandering. That's the part that sets the stage for this interchange between Joshua and the people. So listen to it again. And this is Joshua speaking. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose this day who you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Great phrase, "but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I bet you can find that in a plaque in Hobby Lobby, right? Then the people answered, and you know this is coming, because this is us to a T. "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our journey, and the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord. We too will serve the Lord because he's our God." Joshua said to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and turn to foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he's been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen to serve the Lord." And they said, "Yes, we are witnesses." "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods from among you and give your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." In those words, you can sense that Joshua, a great prophet of Israel, on the order of Moses himself, who said to be the greatest prophet Israel has ever had, already knows what the future will hold for God's beloved people. And every time that they say that they're ready to put their less than stellar past behind them, every time they say that they're ready to finally take God seriously and buckle down, every time that they say they'll serve the Lord, even after he warns what will happen if they don't, Joshua knows what's coming. And I can't imagine that he's thinking, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Joshua, prophet that he is, he knows how this story's going to end. And we know how the story ends. All of those good intentions, spoken with the best of intent, as Israel excitedly plans her new life in the promised land, will indeed end up hell-bound. You know how the story ends. The people cannot and do not live up to their end of the deal. They don't serve the Lord. They lose it all. They lose the promised land. They lose the temple in Jerusalem. They lose their freedom. They darn near lose their very lives themselves. The road to hell is indeed paved with good intentions. Because so many years ago, there in front of Joshua, they did indeed have the best of intentions. And they really meant that they would try their best to serve the Lord. But sometimes our best isn't good enough, is it? How many times have you started a diet on Monday morning only to open? I'm not even going to finish the story. You know how it ends. That little Debbie sitting over there waiting for me afterwards, I know how it's going to end too. How many times in our lives have we entered into service to our Lord with that same kind of naive enthusiasm, signing on for a 2-year term as an elder or deacon, and you are going to change the world, or at least ready to change the way things function here? How many times in your life have you joined a new committee or started helping with the ministry that you always wanted to be involved in, or a Bible study that sounds so good on day one? And then what happens? How do those best intentions wind up? How often do we never finish following through on our good intentions? And Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. And if you forsake the Lord and turn to foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you." It's more than that, though, a whole lot more. It's more than just following through with what we say. Just as for Israel, it was more than just following through with their promises to put away idols and follow God and God alone. Sometimes the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but at least it's a road that started going in the right direction to begin with, right? Sometimes we don't even start down the right path. And of course, there's a name for it. You know, that's what you gotta love. There's a name for everything. It's called the Joshua Principle. In today's text, Joshua challenges his people to decide what sort of community they would be now that they had a new home, one which they didn't build, with land that they didn't cultivate. Their new homeland was a gift, free from God. And the question Joshua poses to us is exactly the same. We have our own personal homelands and homesteads, don't we? Complete with a mortgage for most of us, an SUV, fancy electronics, maybe a pet or two, maybe even a nice garden in the backyard. Our lives and all that we have are a gift from God. We didn't earn them, and we don't deserve them. But they are ours just because it gives God pleasure to gift us with good things. End of story. But God sure would like us to be committed to him, deeply committed. And that's where the Joshua principle comes in. Joshua asks the people to decide where their alliance was going to be. Note that he doesn't give them the choice of us serving no one. We have to serve something or someone. That's the choice he's given. That's just the way life is. You know Bob Dylan's song, "Serve Somebody"? I am sparing you the YouTube because there is no one who sings more horrifically than Bob Dylan. And none of us need to have that pain in our lives today. But in his song, he says, and there's many verses, "Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor or sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're going to have to serve somebody." Yes. Indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Choosing who or what we will serve. Joshua tells us to choose before the choice is made for us. And yes, the choice matters. It matters terribly. You see, who or what we choose to serve governs what kind of people we become. The choice of who to serve affects every aspect of our life. Choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people responded that they would do the same thing. The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey. Just as having good intentions, but no action to back them up is not the way God calls us to live, neither does he call us to live by serving the gods of the Amorites, which is a fancy way of saying the gods of this world. And how many times do we choose to serve the gods of this world instead of God who gives us all good things? How many times do we choose to do the things we want instead of the things we know we should do? How many times do we opt out of worship because we have a better offer somewhere else or from someone else on Sunday morning? How often do we spend more of our time and money on things we want than investing our time and our talent and our treasure in the places and things that God would have us do? Sometimes, you know, you look at this passage and you wonder, why is Joshua so strong and adamant? He gives the Israelites, I think, three times to opt out of entering into covenant with God. I mean, it seems so obvious to us that serving God is the right choice. Even a dummy knows that. But good intentions are never enough. And as we all know, the day comes pretty quickly, and the situation arises so often throughout our days when the choice of who to serve has to be made. And it's so easy, and it's so much fun, and it's so much easier to serve the gods of this world. But just as Joshua knew, that is not what gives us life. The gods of this world give us no more life than do all the good intentions in the world. It's really about making ourselves available to God. Every single person in the Bible who God used powerfully, whether Abraham or Moses or Joshua or Peter or Paul or Mary, not the trio, they were not terribly gifted people, but they were successful because they chose the correct God to serve, and because they were willing to live out their good intentions, even when it was the more difficult road to walk. Joshua had made himself available to God in all of his life. And nearing the end of his life here in the book of Joshua, here as Israel is finally coming into the promised land, he gives this pep talk to the people. And he reminded them that ministry and meaning in life are all about making choices. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You just need to remember the Joshua principle. Seven words of advice for those who want to be effective in mission or ministry, who want to be effective in their life in Christ. Choose this day who you or whom you will serve. Seven words. And then go and live out those intentions boldly and faithfully with every part and place in your life. Because the God we worship and serve is a jealous God. Jealous for us and jealous for our lives, all of our lives, every single last part. So choose this day who you will serve. And even more importantly, when it all goes terribly wrong and terribly bad and the choice is not right, remember which God you have said you would serve and turn and lean on him for forgiveness and grace and mercy. Amen.